those hymn books and look up that one that says there's a light upon the mountains and the day is at the spring when my eyes shall see the beauty and the glory of the King. Weary was our heart with waiting and the night watch seemed so long, but the triumph day is breaking and we hail it with a song. Oh, also, I'd like to know, is there someone here who loves the authorized version and has got good eyesight? Because I've got a tiny, glorious little pocket version of the Psalms, and if you'd like it, it's yours. Now, I'm just going to go over here so that I can see what I've got on the screen. And open up the book. I've called it Sacred Service because there's one amazing word occurs three times in this chapter, and I'm going to point them out as we go. Thank you. Therefore, my beloved, you know, you always need to know what therefore is there for. And so let's go back and find out. Because the Holy Spirit comforts you from verse 1, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any fellowship of the Spirit, and because it will make me jump for joy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. And because Jesus served sacrificially, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, didn't think it was anything to hang on to, but served, gave himself, took on the form of a servant. And because of your future reward, just as Jesus had a wonderful reward, as we sang in that hymn just there, for all those reasons, as you have also obeyed me. Now, I was struck by that verse. Okay, Paul had led most of these people to Christ. He had founded this church. Is that why? Yeah, please go on to the next one. Is that why they obeyed him? How long since you've made a disciple? Do you expect your disciples to obey you? I've made 4 disciples in the last 10 years, and I can't say that I have expected them to obey me. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they follow my example. Oh, I guess, yeah, one guy said to me, I learned more about watching you, about a Christian husband's role watching you than I did listening to you. And so that was a blessing. He was a Muslim. He had been a Muslim, so he had a lot to learn about a Christian husband. They're quite different, those Muslim husbands. Do you think there's an obedience factor that's missing in the Western church? Do you think we're so individual-minded that we just go our own way and take people's advice if we wish? Interesting. Let's go on. Then he says, work out your own salvation. God put new life in you like a spoonful of yeast in a lump of dough. Now that yeast has got to spread out into every corner of that lump. Work out your salvation. God planted the seed of life in the soil of your heart. Now that shoot has got to grow and put out branches, and the grapes have got to form. God is the potter, and you are the clay. Give yourself to him. Just tell him, yes, God, mold me as you want. Move me as you wish. Change me as is your desire for my future. Make me what you want to be. Go on. Not trusting in my own experience or my strength or my Bible knowledge or how many years I've been a believer. I saw an amazing cartoon of an old man wearing a nappy and sitting in a pushchair. And it said, you can be old without getting mature. That's a little bit scary, isn't it? We can't guarantee just because we've got so many years behind us as a believer that we have Christian maturity. And we recognize, I was out in Indonesia and I was teaching a bunch of high school kids, and one of them, it came to question time, and one of them said, how can I be strong like you? And I said, I'm not strong. I said, nobody's strong. God knows how weak we are. I'm only one step away from temptation at any time in my life. It can come, and there I have the choice, sin, or call out to Jesus and win. That's why fear and trembling is an appropriate comment for Paul to make. Relying only on the blood of Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit. Keeping a tender conscience, vigilant against temptation. It says resist the devil, but it doesn't say resist temptation. It says flee temptation. So sometimes you can say to the devil, in Jesus' name, you take that temptation away, that thought away out of my mind. But if the temptation is around you, then get yourself somewhere else quick. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. What a fabulous verse. Yeah, work out your own salvation. Work it out from the inside into your daily life. Work it out from your heart into your fingertips, into your responses when you speak. But, no, not yet. But it's God who's working in you, not only to make you able to do it, but to make you want to. And that's the joy. And if you don't want to forgive, you can say to God, I don't want to, but I'm willing to be made willing. If you know you're attracted to sin, you can say, I want to, but I'm willing to be made unwilling. I'm willing to be made so that I hate it instead of loving it. God works in you to want to as well as to be able to. Claim that verse. Just take that verse now. I'm just going to give you a minute with the Lord. Just bow your head and tell him, thank you. Thank you for making me willing and for making me able to serve you. Amen. So that's all about God saying, God working in you so that you can work it out in your everyday life, your bread and butter, hurly-burly, the crazy world that we live in. Thank you. And what's the purpose of all this? The goal is that you and I should be children of God without fault, without blame, without harm, shining like lights in a crooked, perverse generation. And there you go. I mean, if you are not crooked and not perverse and not faulty, you will shine. You will stick out like a sore thumb, won't you? Did I ever tell you the story of the apprentice mechanic? And there was a wealthy man used to drive a beautiful car in every now and then for a service, and the boss always said to him, "Give it the works." And he would give it the works. And then one day, the man brought his car in, and he said to the boss, "There's nothing wrong with it. The oil doesn't need changing. There's nothing needs greasing. There's nothing needs cleaning. The brake drums are all good. I've checked everything. There's nothing needs doing." And the boss said, "Give it a full service. He can afford it." And he said, "Oh, sir, I can't do that. It doesn't need doing." And just then, the man, the owner of the vehicle, came back to pick it up. And the lad said to the man, "Sorry, sir, there was nothing needed doing this time." And the owner of the vehicle said, "Oh, that's interesting." He said, I've been suspecting this garage of ripping me off. And I took it yesterday to have a full service somewhere else just to find out if you people would be honest." And when he went away, the boss said, "You know, I was going to sack you for disobeying me, but now I have to thank you for saving my license and my customer." Sometimes we shine, we stick out like a sore thumb, don't we? Sometimes a Christian response is so different. And one way Paul talked about it was, one way we shine is when we do everything without grumbling. Why do we grumble? Turn to your neighbour and ask them, why do we grumble? See if you can give one reason each. Okay, now share your wisdom with me. Somebody who would like to give me a reason why we grumble. Okay, yes, good. Sorry. Yes, true. Okay, yes, things that weary us. Because we don't want to do it. Yep. All right. What can help us overcome the grumbling? Joy? Yeah. Yeah. It's It's part of this whole chapter, isn't it? It's thinking back to Jesus. He had all sorts of reasons he could have grumbled, but he sacrificed himself. And going back to the beginning of the chapter and the sermon from last time I was here, if you can remember that far back, that can help us when we feel like grumbling. Okay. So, you're shining like lights in the world and you're holding out the word of life. Now, some of the versions have got holding on to the word of life and keeping touch with it. So I had to look up the Greek. And as far as I can see, the best meaning is offering the word of life. So I don't consider my disciple to be successfully discipled until my disciple is trying to help other people to become disciples. That's the whole reason Jesus had some disciples, so that when he left they would make more, isn't it? That's the purpose of a disciple. So Paul is saying to these people, hold out the word of life. Make disciples. So my work will not be in vain. So I can rejoice in the day of Christ. Yeah. How do arguing and grumbling become a stumbling block to someone who's considering Christianity? Well, all sorts of things can become stumbling blocks, not just arguing and grumbling. When we don't live out what God has put in us, people think, well, it hasn't made any difference to them. One fellow was handing out tracts on the street corner and somebody said to him, no thanks, I've got enough problems of my own. So if you're going to be handing out tracts, you've got to smile. And then Paul says an amazing thing. He says, I'm being poured out, I'm being spent on the sacrifice and service of your faith. And the picture is a drink offering being poured out on the altar, like in the Old Testament. Or Rebecca pouring out water for the camels until all the camels had drunk. Or David, when his troops broke through the Philistine army and got him a drink of the water from the well outside the gate of Bethlehem, and he said, I can't drink this. This could have cost the blood of my men. And he poured it out as an offering to the Lord. And I often wonder what those guys thought when he did that. I would have been offended. I went and risked my life to get you a drink and you tip it on the ground. But what he said made them realize, no, this is an offering to God. And you remember the alabaster pot that the woman broke and poured it out on Jesus' head. Or on his feet, was it? Anyway, the house was filled with the perfume. So when we pour ourselves out on behalf of Jesus, for the sake of Jesus, or on behalf of the others, the people around who need it, people notice. Muslims are noticing that it's the Christians who are bringing help. Those women in those jails, they will know it was the Christians who sent the money. Christians Christianity is going to beat Islam because Christianity is love and Islam is hate. And love wins. But the next thing is fascinating too. He says, I'm being poured out on the sacrifice and service of your faith. And the word is liturgos. And it's three times from here to the end of the chapter. So we're going to find it. It means someone who, yes, he does it for God. But he does it, a public duty that needs doing, at his own expense. And they found a fascinating occurrence of this word in Philippi. Here was a little plaque on one of the buildings that they excavated, and it said, so-and-so, wealthy landowner, has built this building for the town of Philippi at his own expense as a liturgos. As a public service, with the thought that I'm doing this for God. And then he talks about Timothy. He's like-minded. He's got sincere love for you guys. He's not thinking about himself, but he's thinking about what you need. He's character is proven and tested. He served with me. I thought this might be liturgos as well, but it's not, as doulos. Doulos is a slave. He slaved with me. There's no one like him. Now, Timothy was one of Paul's disciples. Timothy was just a young fellow. He came along with Paul wherever Paul went, and Paul taught him and demonstrated and showed him, and then he became a co-worker. And now there's no one like him. He's my best man. Paul had discipled a lot of them, hadn't he? Aristarchus and Diotrephes and lots of others whose names I haven't got in my head right now. Paul says, Timothy, there's no one like him. And then he talks about Epaphroditus. He was a young man that the church had sent to look after Paul and to bring him a gift. And he's my brother. He's my fellow worker. He's my fellow soldier. He's your messenger to bring your gift. And now he's heard that you already know he's been sick. So he's longing for you. He's not thinking of himself again either, but he ministered to my needs, and that's liturgos again. And I was reminded of a song that I probably sang in Sunday school and at camp, and some of you might remember it, and you young ones won't have a clue. In the house and out of doors, washing dishes, scrubbing floors, ironing, mending, cleaning too, sometimes making Irish stew, I'll do it all for Jesus. Remember? Okay. Well, that's the spirit of liturgos. And here it is, the service that you couldn't do for me, Epaphroditus has done. You sent him so that he could do what you wanted to do for me and you couldn't. Liturgos, public duty, personal expense. So there it is. I'll do it all for Jesus. Now, all of our gifts are different, and so our service is going to be different too. And so just imagine what your service is. It's not likely to be the same as anyone else's. You can see various forms of service there, and in the next one, some more. And I guess coming here to preach is one form of service that I enjoy. But I like putting out the rubbish as well. I don't do this because I like standing up in front. I do this because I like communicating what God is saying. So let's look back quickly over the whole thing. If it's possible, or maybe it's not possible. Yes, it is. Thank you. Here we are. The Holy Spirit's comforting you. Jesus has served sacrificially as your example. He's got a reward waiting for you. So, next, yeah, so obey what I'm going to tell you now. Do what I'm telling you. Go on. Work out your salvation. Let it come from the inside where God planted it, right out into your everything you do and everything you are. Remember, you can't do it by yourself. God can do it in you. He can make you want to do it. He can make you able to do it. Be afraid of failure. Be afraid of yourself and of losing the want to do it. Claim this promise and then go on. Because God is working it in you, so you can work it out. The goal, that you shine in this world, that your light is visible, that you are different, and people will say, why is that person so different? What is it about them? And then you have the opportunity to hold out the word of life. I'm being poured out. I'm being used up. I don't feel used. I feel glad because your faith is also growing, and your public duty is being shown there in Philippi. Timothy is demonstrating the same sort of service. Epaphroditus is demonstrating the same sort of service. Now it's your turn. Public duty. Do it all for Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
And we're going to finish off with another song, and another one where we reflect on this time leading up to the birth of Christ. From heaven you come. And known as the Servant King. If you want to stand and join in, we can really reflect on the love of Christ through his desire to serve us through his life.